The word today is discipline. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Christ wants his church to function properly here on earth, so he gave us instructions to follow whenever problems develop. Matthew 18 lists the steps believers are to take whenever disagreement or conflict occurs. Here to review these steps is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Discipline.
It is clear from the Holy Scriptures that God wants his family, the Christian church, to live in a loving way in a relationship with one another that will impress the world around them. We are to make a witness to the world. We are to show the people of the world that there is a different type of person involved when you talk about a Christian. A Christian is someone in whom Jesus Christ lives and dwells and motivates him so that they will not be at constant anger and disappointing one another and challenging one another, but will live in a loving relationship. Now, we know there's a lot of troubles and there's a lot of problems in this world. There's death, there's financial reversals, there are all kinds of temptations. We think of all the different things that are involved in terms of sin. Think of all the different kinds of things that are involved in the use of drugs and the use of alcohol. Think of just the temperaments of people. Even within marriages, of course, there can be animosity, there can be jealousy, there can be unfaithfulness, there can be all kinds of different kinds of problems. And so when you try to gather a group together, like the Christian church, which is made up of people of all different ages, all different races, all different kinds of backgrounds, all different kinds of financial status, all different kinds of political ideas, it's very difficult to keep that group moving steadily forward and in a positive direction, because you can have little pockets of jealousies, you can have little pockets of disagreement, and pretty soon everything is kind of a turmoil. Unfortunately, there are many Christian churches that have little cliques of people who are kind of the controlling power of the congregation. They kind of politicize many things. Some like the pastor, some don't like the pastor. Some like the teachers, let's say, in the Sunday school. Some don't like the teachers in the Sunday school. And so you have all different kinds of views. Now, how would it be possible for such an organization, which has nothing on a human level to unite them? For instance, they're not the same age. They're not the same politically. They're not the same intellectually. They're not the same financially. How could you keep such an organization together then, unless by using the rules that God himself set down? And Jesus, when he was here telling us the will of his Father here on earth, told us some very specific things, and he gave us some very specific rules that we are to follow. One of these is found in the gospel according to Matthew. And in the 18th chapter of that gospel, we are told some beautiful things to help us understand how to discipline ourselves and how to organize the Christian church. Now, one of the formal ways that we teach this is by calling it the steps of church discipline. Now, that's admitting that the human side of our nature needs to be controlled. There has to be a discipline there. It's not all spiritual. You know, it's true that Christians have a spirit within them, and that spirit is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is living within us, and the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is ruling our lives. But there's also a human side to us, and that's where the jealousies and the angers and the hostilities come in. So what should the rules be when there's trouble in the church? Now, I mentioned we can look first of all to the 18th chapter of Matthew, and beginning at verse 15 of the 18th chapter is an excellent place to look, because there's where the steps of church discipline are found. And it's step one, step two, step three, step four. Four little simple steps that we are to use and practice and follow, and it will help us in many of our difficulties and problems. Now, the first step is simply going to the person we're having the problem with. That's step one. You know, I think that's so essential. It's so important. Usually what happens is that when somebody has a problem with another person, they will get all their friends together and they'll say, you know what so-and-so said to me, or you know what so-and-so did to me, and they will tell all of their friends, and the other person is telling all of their friends, and pretty soon you have two little armies marching against each other who kind of hate each other and don't like each other and are avoiding each other and telling rumors about each other. Now, you see, God understands that that isn't the way it should be working, and so he says, let the two people that are having the problem, let those two people get together and try to work it out. They ought to say, now, am I understanding you correctly? And what I heard you to say is this, is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that what you mean to say? And make sure you understand each other, and make sure that you aren't just mishearing or miscommunicating with one another. Obviously, many problems can be solved by simply clarifying and straightening out what it is that we're trying to say. And then, of course, there could be an honest disagreement, and maybe there is a situation in which you both are very much opposed to what the other person is saying. In that case, you try to repent, you try to say, I'm sorry I've offended you, or you can say, you have offended me, and I hope that you will want my forgiveness, and let's get this worked out together. Now, if you've tried that several times and you have been unable to get the problem solved, then it says in the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 15 there, it says, if the two of you can't get it worked out, then take a witness with you, or possibly two witnesses with you. Now, notice it doesn't say friends. You know, our temptation would be to get a hold of a couple buddies of ours or a couple friends of ours and take them along, since we're pretty sure they're going to agree with us. Now, that's not it at all. That is totally wrong. That's stacking the deck, so to speak, in a way that isn't right at all. We are to take some objective listeners, those who are known for their Christian attitude and their Christian desires and their Christian way of conducting their lives, someone who is going to be willing to listen and give their opinion of who they think is right and wrong, and who is more repenting and more willing to forgive the other person. Now, when you take a witness along or two witnesses along, you're going to have somebody else that can help you size it up and evaluate and see who's acting the way they should and who's hindering the process. Now, if you try this a few times and yet there's disagreement and there is no resolution to the problem, then it says you take step three. Now, step three is you bring it to the church. Now, the church, we're talking here about the organized group of people here on earth that have called themselves, you know, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian, the Episcopalian, the Lutheran, whatever it is, the Roman Catholic. All of these churches have different types of structures, different types of organizations, and different types of political functioning within them. Some hold meetings, some hold conferences, some, you know, have people that act as counselors and can listen to the debate and give their opinion. It's to be brought to the church in order to involve more people. Usually the pastor is going to be involved at that point, because he's supposed to be objective and he's supposed to be trained well enough to be able to listen to both sides and then make a judgment, make a value judgment, and say, well, it sounds to me like your attitude is a bit off here, or it sounds to me like you are really seeking to resolve this and the other person isn't cooperating, or he would have some opinion after listening to the two points of view. And so that's bringing it to the church. In the Lutheran church, we normally involve the board of elders. Those would be the people that are selected by the congregation to counsel the pastor and to assist the pastor as he runs the parish. And so they should be very fine, upstanding Christian people. And hopefully that would be the case. And maybe now they can resolve the problem. But let's say that the problem continues to go on, and nothing is resolved. Then finally, after all these witnesses have been involved, they have to say to the person who's refusing to repent and refusing to solve the problem, they have to say, well, then we're going to have to exclude you from our fellowship because you're causing us too much trouble. You're causing us to be unchristian. You're not repenting. You're not seeking forgiveness. You're not trying to resolve this. You're not asking for God's help. And as a result, you're creating a problem among us, and we should not let that happen because it's disrupting the entire congregation. And so that is called excommunication. Now, I'm afraid that that's been often confused. People are talking about maybe trying to get rid of somebody from their fellowship. That's, of course, not the goal at all. The goal is to solve the problem and bring that person back more lovingly into the fellowship to reunite that person. And the goal, if you inform that person we're going to remove you from our membership, the goal ought to be that that person will be just shocked and say, well, don't do that. What must I do? How do I repent? How do I seek fellowship once again? And that would bring that person back. That's the goal, not to get rid of them, but to reunite them in a loving way back into the fellowship. So this is the way problems should be solved in congregations. And I hope, regardless of what denomination you are and what part of the church you belong, that you will be willing to use the rules stated in Matthew 18 to work out your problems with one another. May God bless you and keep you in peaceful harmony within your fellowship of the Holy Christian Church.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.